Welcome to the CAMUD News. I'm your news director, April Lewis, and I'm glad to be with you for this broadcast. In this episode, we have stories on a shake trailer experience at the Redwood Acres Fair, Fortuna seeking to lease the River Lodge Conference Center, the Depot Museum's 50th anniversary, and inside Humboldt Courts. But first, a rundown of some quick local headlines. This is KMUD News. Starting off with a correction. KMUD News had previously stated that this week's public affairs programming would be an extended-length interview with Christopher Dillis, a UC Berkeley cannabis researcher. We will air that full-length interview at a later date. On that note, KMUD News is looking for additional help with our content and has an opening for an assistant news director. KMUD News is looking for a new assistant news director to help create our nightly news broadcasts and public affairs content. This position is a hybrid position requiring weekly in-person work at our studios in Redway. Their assistant director will double both as a reporter creating their own stories while assisting the news director with running the department. Department tasks include emails, story leads, working with our team of freelancers, and being part of the KMUD emergency response team. This is a highly versatile role and will likely grow over time. If you are interested, please send a cover letter and resume to april@kmud.org. Those currently working as journalists for any medium will be highly considered. In Mendocino County, advocates for Eel River Dam removal are urging members of the public to attend meetings next week in Ukiah and speak in support of dam removal and regional water security. Recent news about a Southern California water agency interested in taking over the Potter Valley Project has many of us distracted, but not the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, also known as FERC. FERC is responsible for overseeing hydropower projects and approving their decommissioning. As such, FERC has just announced the next step towards dam removal with public hearings and a comment period on scoping. For the National Environmental Protection Act process to analyze the impacts of dam removal, two meetings are scheduled to receive comments on FERC's scoping document. The meetings will be Tuesday, June 23rd at 6:30 p.m. and Wednesday, June 24th at 10 a.m. at the Ukiah Valley Conference Center, 200 South School Street in Ukiah. Also in Mendocino County, a fire first reported right before 4 p.m. is burning southeast of Covelo near Timber Ridge Trail and Bentley Ridge Road. The fire is estimated at around 5 acres as of this broadcast time, and according to scanner traffic, involves structures. We do not yet have additional information on containment from CAL FIRE as of yet. Air support, including an air tanker and a helicopter, were reportedly at the scene. An additional backup has been requested. We'll update you if this fire ends up spreading. In Del Norte County, the County Roads Division has closed South Fork Road near Boulder Creek at approximately milepost 8 due to a rock slide. Roads and Engineering Division staff are currently evaluating the slide and assessing roadway conditions. South Fork Road will remain closed until further notice. In Humboldt County, multiple patients were reportedly injured after a red van carrying 8 or 9 people went over an embankment on Highway 299. The incident happened at mile marker 2.5 near Glendale, east of Arcata. Scanner traffic appeared to indicate that one victim lost consciousness and additional ambulances were called. Emergency personnel classified 2 of the patients as critical, 5 sustained reportedly moderate injuries, and 2 are classified as having minor injuries. The crash remains under investigation. And now, to our main stories. This is KMUD News. Fortuna's operation of the River Lodge Conference Center isn't financially viable, and the Fortuna City Council is considering leasing proposals. Daniel Mintz reports.
Seeking to lease the River Lodge Conference Center starting in 2027, the Fortuna Council is considering proposals from potential tenant/operators, including the Fortuna Union High School District. Those seeking to lease the facility from the city made their pitches to council at its June 15th meeting. The city's operation of the River Lodge isn't panning out financially. City Manager Amy Nilsson said a general fund subsidy of about $1 million has been necessary over the last 5 years. So the city's budget, quote, assumes a transition away from city operation with the lease in place by January 1st, 2027 to significantly reduce or eliminate that subsidy. Nilsson said city staff has begun discussions with the school district on leasing, but the meeting's agenda packet included emails from Fortuna hotel operators concerned about what could be a loss of customers. District Superintendent Clint Dewey sought to, quote, address some of the rumors that are swirling and circulating about the district, quote, only using it for an office space and to shut it down and not have public use. He described what the district is proposing.
So first and foremost, it would serve the needs of our district, which is my job as a superintendent, but to also serve students of the Eel River Valley and nonprofit organizations alike. We are blessed in our community to receive great support from institutions like Rotary, and we would be cutting our nose off to spite our face to shut the doors to those people. So things like your hospital galas and other major fundraisers that benefit the community directly, we have no intention of not having those happen there. We would further like to develop CTE courses for the students of Fortuna Union High School District for Career Tech Ed.
Dewey said the district will, quote, look at discontinuing weddings at the River Lodge as, quote, we would host confidential documents in the offices, which I'm completely uncomfortable with turning over to this, excuse my bluntness, it's a bunch of drunk people late at night without having enough staff there to security guard the situation. But Fortuna resident Erica Thompson, whose company, Kinetic Hospitality Group, is also seeking a lease, said eliminating weddings would be a mistake.
I think that ignoring weddings as if it just isn't a thing is ridiculous. I think that it hurts the hotels. And I think that with the right marketing strategy and somebody who is driven to create revenue and create a profit in anything, that we can achieve full occupancy for those hotels and full occupancy of the building.
A third proposal from the Fortuna Chamber of Commerce is described here by its president, Felicia Thompson.
I ask you, before you make a decision on the fate of the River Lodge, to please allow the Chamber of Commerce time to provide you with a lease presentation that would include relocating the Fortuna Chamber and Visitor Center to the River Lodge, continue to run it as an event center, keeping the River Lodge name, and as well creating a better suited welcome center for our area, for tourists, and our Chamber of Commerce for our business members. We have extensive knowledge of the River Lodge's annual bookings and have excellent relationships with all the local catering companies, hotels, and event coordinators. We feel that this could be an excellent partnership for preserving what the River Lodge has built and continue with the namesake while introducing new events that increase tourism and TOT.
After public comment, Council Member Tammy Trent said, quote, I believe that we really should open this up and give everybody a fair chance to put their programs together. With Councilmember Abe Stevens absent, the council voted to have city staff analyze the proposals and give an update at the council's next meeting on July 20th. Also at the meeting, the council adopted the city budget for the fiscal year beginning July 1st. Totaling $51 million, the budget has a, quote, challenging fiscal backdrop, said Finance Director Aaron Felmley, with, quote, an ongoing structural deficit between recurring revenues and expenditures. For KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
This weekend's Redwood Acres Fair will feature a shake trailer, courtesy of Cal OES. KMUD News reports. From June 18th to the 21st, the Redwood Coast Tsunami Work Group and the California Office of Emergency Services will be hosting interactive booths at the Redwood Acres Fair. This year's event includes a shake trailer, an innovative way for fair participants to fully experience the sensation of a major earthquake event. KMUD News spoke with Amanda Admire, co-chair of the Redwood Coast Tsunami Work Group and a Cal Poly Humboldt faculty member, to learn more about the Shake Trailer and other happenings at the fair. Amanda spoke first about the Redwood Coast Tsunami Work Group and its work in the community.
So the Redwood Coast Tsunami Work Group is an organization of local, state, tribal, and federal agencies, as well as non-government agencies, businesses, and other organizations across the North Coast, which includes Del Norte, Humboldt, and Mendocino counties. And a primary goal of the organization is to help promote earthquake and tsunami awareness and preparedness by bringing educational resources, different materials, as well as events for people to participate in order to increase their resilience for the hazards that we could experience on the North Coast.
Redwood Coast Tsunami Work Group co-chair Amanda Admire then spoke about the Cal OES Shake Trailer at the Redwood Acres Fair.
So we work really hard to make sure that we have information readily available for the community through different events. And one of the really cool opportunities we have this week at the Redwood Acres Fair is the Cal OES Shake Trailer will be here. And what that is, it's actually an earthquake simulator. And so you are able to go into the trailer, you can sit down, they have a movie displayed. There are different things that are on shelves and around you on the walls. And then they simulate what an earthquake would feel like. And while many of us on the North Coast have experienced earthquakes, some have not, especially those who might be passing through the area or those who haven't been here when we've had even some of our recent events. And so having an opportunity to experience what that shaking would be like in a non-emergency situation really kind of helps us wire that experience into our brain and also think about what would we do during that event when it really happens so that we can be more prepared when our body might need to have a little bit of that flight and fear response to an earthquake, even though we know that we can be safe by practicing what to do during an earthquake.
Amanda Admire also explained more on how the Shake Trailer operates and where it will be located on the Redwood Acres Fairground, along with additional activities and information for participants.
So the way that the simulator works is they are able to ramp up that shaking intensity that you're feeling while you're in the trailer itself. And so while it might not be a direct comparison to a magnitude that we talk about when we talk about earthquakes, it does give you that sensation, that shaking, that kind of discombobulation feeling, so that you can relate that to what maybe you have experienced, or you get that sensation of, wow, this is uncontrollable. It's not something that I could easily really walk around in. So the Shake Trailer is going to be with our Cal OES colleagues, which will be housed outside of the vendor hall. And that's where you can experience that shake simulator. And then inside the vendor hall, we will have the Redwood Coast Tsunami Work Group booth that will be set up with colleagues from CERT as well. And in that booth, we will have information, including our newest edition of Living on Shaky Ground, which has been updated recently. We have both English and Spanish print versions of that. And then we will also have other resources like our tsunami hazard map brochures, different stickers, and other activities that you can do with your family in order to increase awareness and preparedness for earthquakes and tsunamis. And we have a couple games. We have some spin the wheel style games where you can test your knowledge of earthquake and tsunami preparedness or readiness, make sure you know what are the steps for being safe, what can you do before an event so that when the event happens, you don't have that panic initial response or you have supplies ready. And we have various prizes that you can win, including things like glow sticks, emergency flashlights, different first aid type materials that are great to put in your emergency kit. And then we also are encouraging people to identify their tsunami zone. That is usually one of the topics that is most confusing and concerning is, am I in a tsunami zone? Am I not? Do I need to evacuate? Am I safe? We think that it's really important for us to get the community aware of these hazards. And the more that we can encourage people to attend these different events, learn about the information, and prepare, the better off they will be when these events happen. Because we can't control that they happen. All we can do is control the way that we respond to them. So the more that we prepare for earthquakes and prepare for tsunamis, learn about the hazards that we face, the more prepared you will be when the event actually happens so that you are able to stay safe.
The Shake Trailer and associated activities at the Redwood Acres Fair will be operating from Thursday, June 18th to Sunday, June 21st. The Shake Trailer will be open from 2 to 7 p.m. Thursday through Saturday and will be open 1 to 6 p.m. on Sunday. To learn more about the Redwood Coast Tsunami Work Group, you can head to their website at rctwg.humboldt.edu. Reporting for KMUD, I'm April Lewis. The Fortuna Depot Museum was also featured at this week's Fortuna City Council meeting. KMUD News reports. The Fortuna Depot Museum is celebrating its 50th anniversary. We wanted to share additional audio from this week's Fortuna City Council meeting, starting off with Fortuna Mayor Mike Johnson stating an official proclamation.
Our next item is a proclamation for the Fortuna Depot Museum's 50th anniversary. The Fortuna Depot Museum's 50th anniversary, June of 2026. Whereas the Fortuna Depot building was constructed in 1889 by the Eel River Valley and Eureka Railroad, and whereas in 1914 the Fortuna Depot became part of the Northwestern Pacific Railroad linking Humboldt County with the San Francisco Bay Area, and whereas in 1974 the Fortuna City Council member Ruth Beth Rundell led a Save the Depot campaign, and city staff and community volunteers moved the historic building to a new home in Rohnert Park. And whereas creation of a local history museum in the old depot building was the City of Fortuna's bicentennial project, for which Fortuna was named a National Bicentennial Community. And whereas since 1975, the all-volunteer Fortuna Historical Commission, appointed by the Fortuna City Council, has served as an advisory board for the museum for the preservation of the Northwestern Pacific Depot Building, which is a structure of significant historical and architectural worth, and for the administration of the museum, which provides reminders of past eras, events, and persons important to the city. And whereas the Fortuna Depot Museum held its grand opening July 2, 1976, and whereas for 50 years the Fortuna Depot Museum has served the local community and visitors from around the world, now therefore I, Mike Johnson, by virtue of authority vested in me by the laws of Fortuna and California, do hereby honor and congratulate the Fortuna Depot Museum and Fortuna Historical Commission for the occasion of the Depot Museum's 50th anniversary, signed this 15th day of 2026, Fortuna, City of Fortuna, State of California.
After Mayor Johnson's remarks, Dr. Alexandra Service, the curator of the Fortuna Depot Museum, gave details of a celebration for the museum that will be open to the general public.
All right. Thank you, Mayor Johnson and Council. And one thing I want to add to that is just an invitation to everybody, to all the council members, to everybody present here, and the whole community to come to a 50th birthday celebration for the Depot Museum, which is going to take place on July 2nd, 2026, so on the exact 50th anniversary of the museum's grand opening. That's Thursday, leading into, of course, that holiday weekend, so we can really just kick off the celebrations with celebrating the museum's birthday. From 4 to 7 on July 2nd, we're going to have an old-fashioned ice cream social outside, free ice cream from Jersey Scoops, donated by them, and we're going to have various docents and people connected with different exhibits in the museum, connected with those topics that the exhibits explore, inside stationed at the exhibits, giving little talks or just kind of talking with visitors about the exhibits subject. And I believe the Chamber Ambassadors will be there to kick the event off by doing a ceremonial ribbon cutting just to honor the 50th anniversary. And we're still working on getting a few more exciting events connected with that, but hope to see everybody there anytime between 4 and 7 on Thursday, July 2nd at the Depot Museum for free ice cream. Thank you.
The Fortuna Depot Museum 50th Anniversary Celebration will be on Thursday, July 2nd from 4 to 7 p.m. outside the Depot Museum at 3 Park Street in Fortuna. Reporting for KMUD, I'm April Lewis. Among the more serious cases making their way through Humboldt County courts this week is an attempted homicide trial about to be decided by a jury. A woman accused of killing her baby enters a plea, and a wrongful death lawsuit moves forward. Ryan Hudson reports.
This is Inside Humboldt Courts. I'm Ryan Hudson. Starting off this week, we have a few noteworthy updates from the courthouse to share with you. A jury is deliberating right now in a local attempted murder trial, and a verdict could come at any moment. We also have an update in the case of an alleged murderer recently extradited to Humboldt from out of state. And the owners of a Broadway motel where two women died of carbon monoxide poisoning within days of each other have now filed their legal response to a wrongful death lawsuit. First, in the case of the People v. James Clayton Atkins Jr. James Clayton Atkins Jr. has been sitting in the Humboldt County Jail since May of 2023. That's more than 3 years without bail, waiting for his day in court. That day has come and gone, and now his case is in the jury's hands. Atkins faces 9 counts total. 2 counts of attempted murder, 1 targeting a law enforcement officer, 1 targeting civilians, assault on a police officer with a firearm, shooting at an occupied vehicle, and 7 counts of being a felon in possession of a firearm. The trial ran several weeks in Judge Stephen Stewart's courtroom. Among the evidence presented, eyewitness identifications, body camera footage from officers on scene, and a recorded jail phone call between Atkins and a woman who also turned out to be a witness in the case. Atkins made the relatively unusual decision to take the stand in his own defense, testifying before the jury. With closing arguments finished, the jury is now in deliberations and a verdict could come any day. Also this week, in the case of the People v. Nicole Ann Thorpe, a quick update on the woman extradited from Indiana and charged with the 2022 murder of her toddler daughter. Nicole Ann Thorpe faces charges of second-degree murder, felony child abuse, and welfare fraud, all connected to the 2022 death of her 20-month-old daughter, Carmen Eve Robinson. Thorpe appeared in court last week and entered a not guilty plea to those charges. She remains held without bail and is represented by defense attorney Kathleen Bryson. A preliminary hearing for Thorpe is now set for September 10th. Next, in the case of Hannah v. Heer. If you've driven down Broadway in Eureka, you've passed the Lamplighter Motel. Earlier this year, 2 women died there of carbon monoxide poisoning in the same room within a few days of each other. The first death, and a 2nd woman found unconscious and rushed to the ER in the same incident, happened in late February this year. Then, just days later, Samantha Hanna checked into the same room. She was 25 years old when she also died from carbon monoxide poisoning. Her father, Samuel Hanna of Provo, Utah, has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the motel owners. The owners are Harjinder and Surinder Heer. The complaint alleges the room had no carbon monoxide detector, no smoke detector, in violation of health and safety requirements. The wrongful death lawsuit also alleges that the owners knew about the first incident and did nothing in response. Reading directly from the complaint, quote, rather than immediately shutting down operations, conducting a competent inspection, and ensuring the room was safe for human occupancy, defendants failed to adequately remedy the condition and continued to expose unsuspecting guests to a known deadly danger, unquote. The Heers filed their formal response to the lawsuit on June 4th. They denied all allegations, but did raise 11 affirmative defenses. Now, to be clear, affirmative defenses are a standard part of civil litigation. Defense attorneys routinely raise them as a starting position. They don't amount to an admission of guilt, and they're not necessarily the same as what the defense lawyers will argue at trial, if the case gets that far. One of those affirmative defenses asserts that Samantha Hanna's own conduct contributed to her death and that any damages should be reduced accordingly. Another, called consent and ratification, asserts that Samantha Hanna consented to or accepted the very conditions that killed her. A hearing in the matter is scheduled for September 28th, where the court is expected to be given an update on discussions between the parties. We will keep following this case. Reporting for KMUD News and Redheaded Black Belt, I'm Ryan Hudson.
That's all for our news broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our rotation of broadcast engineers, Dennis Marr, Katie Phillips, Bianna Federico, Michael McCaskill, Larry Lashley, and Javier Rodriguez. Also thanks to our reporters for this broadcast, Daniel Mintz and Ryan Hudson. KMUD News is online, including on streaming platforms. We're available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening. You can also follow us on social media at KMUD News, including Facebook and Instagram. Do you have issues important to you that deserve more attention? Are there stories we're missing or that you're curious about? You can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmod.org. Redwood Community Radio Incorporated is funded by Press Forward, the national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located in the unceded territory of the Tsingkiyon, Wailaki, Wiat, Wilka, and Kato people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, and physical connection that these tribes have to the region. I'm April Lewis. Stay tuned in.